Thank you, choir. Take your hymnals, 177 this morning, 177. We're going to stand and sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Everybody stand. Songbook's right there in front of you. Everybody take a hymnal. Let's sing together now.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God.
That wonderful. How do you say great is His faithfulness? It's not even good. It's great. I mean, He goes way beyond good. You know, it's great. And it's even better than Frosted Flakes. Say amen right there. I'm telling you, God, great is His faithfulness. Well, we're glad to see you in the service this morning. I'm about glad to be back with you. It's been a, somebody said the kind of half joke. I said, it seems like it's been a month of Sunday since you've been here. Well, it has. I don't think I've been here on Sunday the whole month of October till today. I got back that last Sunday night when the children's home was here. But it's been a while, but I'm sure glad to be back here with you. The meetings are all wrapped up now already, so now we're getting into the holidays. So we'll be right here. We're going to enjoy a good time together serving the Lord. We're glad to have you in the vision. We'll recognize them in just a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon the service. And then you may be seated as the choir will sing another number. Heavenly Father, we love you today, and what a joy, wonderful joy it is to be in the house of God. And we can say, great is Thy faithfulness. Lord, you've never done anything less than 100%. You've never done anything less than what's perfect in my life. I may not have understood it. I may not even have liked it. But it's always been perfect in my life. And so, God, we pray that as we go through this service this morning, that we will continue to understand how great your faithfulness really is. Now, Lord, we pray for those that are here. Thank you for our visitors taking time out of their day to come and visit with us. And then, Lord, our folks, we're so glad to be back home with them. We've enjoyed going out a little bit, preaching some, but, Father, there's nothing like being home, and we're glad to be back with our people. And so, God bless the choir as they sing the special music, and, of course, the preaching of the Word of God. We love you, and thank you for all you do now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated as the choir sings.
The whole choir back as well as the pastor today. So we finally have a full choir again. Well, we do have some visitors among us. We'll meet you in just a few minutes, but let's stand right now We're going to let the choir come down while we have a little time of fellowship.
Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning, and thank you for being in our service today. We do have a few folks out, but most everybody's back. Brother Ed Coker's at home sick this morning, so hopefully he'll be able to be here tonight. Some other folks we want to remember in prayer, Margie Johnson is still in the hospital, but may get to go home tomorrow, Tuesday, depending on how all that works. They put her in the hospital, they found that she did have MRSA. And so that's the reason why no visitors for a while, but it looks like it's starting to get better. So remember, her. Good to have Claudette back. She's been out for a couple weeks with bronchitis, real bad, and has taken a couple rounds of antibiotics and still not top tip-top, but doing okay. And I appreciate her being here today. Continue to pray for Jimmy Lloyd, Lily Hendon, Jenny Nancy Rose, Shirley Hughes, of course. One of our missionaries, Niles Gage, is coming off of the field because of illness. Did they say what it was? That's okay. Yeah. So he's turning it over, I guess, to a national pastor and family. So he'll be coming off the field, looks like, permanently because of health issues. So please remember Brother Gage, if you would. And then good to see Miss Ramona back. She's had some difficulties with headaches and backaches and all the kinds of stuff that all good Baptists have, you know. She really had a hard time with it. She come up front here, and I was talking to her, and I said, "How's your headaches?" And I sort of rubbed on her back. She said, "Good, my back hurt, but that feels pretty good." So I thought I was going to have to take her back there and rub her back a little while, but she made it back to her seat okay. But I'm glad she's able to be here. By the way, thank you to everyone who helped and had a part in Friday night, the trunk or treat. It was great. In fact, it was way better than last year, I think. And I thought, well, the weather's so bad. It's raining. It's cold. I thought, man, nobody will show up. Man, I mean, we had a bunch of folks show up. Over 80, I'd say, at least. And, man, had a great time out here. Some of the trunks or whatever you call that, little setups they had. And Brother John down here, he and Susan did an old time religion, tent revival one. Old John had his little hat, his black, he's got it. I see you put your tie on, somebody must have told you to bring it with you. John was the evangelist and Susan was the tambourine player over there. And in fact, she's still wearing the hat she wore that night. But it was great. Everybody, I mean, it was all so wonderful. We had several visitors. The Dunlaps are not here, but he actually won the cake baking contest to the men. And he made a cake called Milk and Honey Cake. It's actually a Bible-based recipe for a cake, and it won. Now, you know, if you're going to be at church, the Bible cake ought to win, amen? I mean, you know, no matter if it tastes like mud, it still ought to win because it's a Bible cake. But, no, it was really good. And I think Brother Tim came in second, if I'm not mistaken. And then Brother Stephen came in third with his Publix cake. And, no, he didn't buy it, no. No, no. Somebody had brought a dessert. I don't think it was part of that, I don't think. Anyway, it had Oreo cookies on top of it. And one of the young ladies, it was McKenna. I was standing there looking them over, and she said, "Look at here." And on the cookie, it says Publix. Didn't say Oreo, it said Publix. And boy, and I said, "Well, I don't know nothing about none of that." I said, "Just go ahead." And boy, she got her some. Amen. So anyway, it was great. We had, I think, 9 or 10 maybe that pitched in. I think that ought to be an annual event here. So that was our first annual men's bake-off. And the first prize was a chef's coat and a chef's hat. Dunny had a hard time putting the crown on Brother Dunlap, but of course he wore it with in good health. And I was hoping they did because they did such a good job. But anyway, appreciate everybody that took part in that. Did such a great job. Judy was a little down in her back. We've been real busy at the house trying to put in a wood floor. And she's been very busy throughout this week. And so I appreciate Bethany and the other ladies kind of jumping in there and kind of taking over, the ladies that took care of the food. Great job. We had several families that visited from the surrounding area. And so hopefully that'll open some doors for some contacts. And so we're glad for that. Good to have Brother Victor back with us. Brother Charlotte, I saw him come in and appreciate him being here. And good to have Carl Thompson Jr. This is Leslie's son and Laura Lee, daughter-in-law, and then Noah and Joey. Now, Laura Lee and Noah, man, Noah's been coming around here since he was a little fella. And Joey, last time I seemed like I remember Joey, he was literally a baby, or at least a very small toddler. And so now they're all growing up, just makes me feel old. We're glad to have these folks here. They won't start kind of coming some to the church. I appreciate that. If you want his dad, Carl Sr., his picture is in the curio cabinet out there. You'll see him. He's wearing glasses, and he died with cancer many years ago. But we love the Thompson family, so it's nice to see Ms. Leslie get shoved over in the middle because the family's filling the aisle there. And Brother Carl, we're glad to have you and your family here with us. God bless you. And I think everybody else is home, folks. So anyway, you pray for these folks that I mentioned and also be sure and welcome our visitors. Come on, Brother Brian.
All right, I got a lot to tell you, so listen close. You listen? You ready? All right, let's go. This afternoon, 4:30 is choir practice, okay, for the choir. Getting ready for Christmas, starting to really gear up for that. I'll be here at 4:30, and then our service at 5:30, of course. We hope you'll make your way back here tonight. Then on Wednesday service, of course, at 7 p.m. This Thursday is November 1st. It's the first Thursday of the month, and as such, it is our service at the Waterford at 7 o'clock on Thursday evening coming. So keep that in mind. Then on Saturday, it'll be the first Saturday of the month. Saturday coming is Sewing Saturday. The men will meet here at 10 o'clock in the morning, go out and knock on doors. Weather permitting, I expect it to be real nice. Make your way here Saturday, gentlemen, and let's try to get the good news of the gospel out to our community. And, of course, next Sunday is a big Sunday here at Anchor, a Pastor Appreciation Sunday. That's this coming Sunday, November 4th, a week from today. Of course, we'll have Sunday school at 9:30 like normal and the preaching service at 10:30, but it'll be a special service. We'll have some presentations that will be made in honor of our pastor, and also Brother Scott Pallett's going to be here to preach, so you're going to want to hear that. It's just going to be a great day. And you think of how the Lord wants to use you to honor the pastor, especially on next Sunday when we do that. Now, the evening service will be a baptism service. So McKenna's being baptized, so I hope you'll make sure to come for that and see that. It's always, you know, of course, it's great to see baptism, but more importantly, it's great to see that outward showing of that she got saved here a few weeks ago. So we're glad about that. And we're glad to see her make that profession public with her baptism on Sunday evening, a week from tonight. Remember that. Then don't forget the charathon at WTBI in Greenville. Is not this Saturday coming, but the next one. That'll be on November 10th. We're on from 12 to 1:30, I think is the time frame. We're going to leave the church between 9:30 and 9:45, okay? So that's to get up. We'll be there on time and get there early so we can kind of get situated and all that. We'll be going on the air at 12 o'clock noon on Saturday, November 10th. If you can't go, of course, the choir, of course, we're expecting all the choir to go, of course. But if you're not in the choir or you can't go, you can't get WTBI on the radio here, but you can get it on their website. So if you look that up, you'll be able to hear us from 12 to 1:30 on Saturday, November 10th. Rusty Anchors will be November 13th. That'll be in a couple weeks here, so keep that in mind on Tuesday. And one last thing, if you don't get this one right, it might mess all the other ones up, all right? So set your clocks back Saturday night when you go to bed, 1 hour. Just 1 hour, please. Only 1 hour. Daylight savings time is ending this coming weekend. So if you don't do that, you'll be early for church. So, you know, preacher didn't want to announce it, but I'll announce it anyway. But really, it'd be good to get an extra hour of sleep. But also, maybe you don't come to Sunday school. It'd be a good opportunity for you to kind of get your clock going to where you'll be at Sunday school at 9:30. There's it. How about that? Yeah, is that good? All right. So use that extra hour to come an hour early for Sunday school, and it'll be like you didn't lose any sleep at all. So just remember that this coming weekend. Y'all got all that? Y'all ready to serve the Lord the next few weeks? All right.
All right. We don't sing this next song a lot, but I want you to take your hymnals to number 224. Number 224. Let's stand and sing Holy, Holy, Holy. 224. Hey, everybody take your hymnal and join us. Let's stand together as we sing.
Sing songs like that more often. Those are good worship songs. Not a thing wrong with them. The world's kind of taken them and done their thing with them. But I'm glad they still have that good meaning. How many songs have you ever heard sung that mention cherubims and seraphims? In case you didn't know, the cherubims are the archangels. And by the way, in case you didn't know, there's only one, Michael. Seraphims are the next level. That's Gabriel. And then what Paul called, or the writer of Hebrews called in Hebrews 1, a great cloud of witnesses. We do have guardian angels. That's a Bible truth. And so not many songs mention that. And I'm not talking about touched by an angel or all that kind of stuff. We don't worship angels. They don't worship us. They don't know anything about heaven, or salvation, I should say, because angels don't get saved. So when that shouting goes on, you know, the Bible talks about there's rejoicing. Many people get that wrong when people get saved. They say the angels are rejoicing. They're not, because they don't know what being saved is. The Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. The angels are listening to the saints who have already been saved and gone to heaven shouting, and somebody gets saved. You know why? Because they know what it's about, where an angel does not. So there you go. That's a free little sermonette. Doesn't cost you nothing. Come on, ushers. Let's take the money for the real thing. Amen? No, come on. Let's go take it up. While they're coming, I want to mention that we're going to lose one of our precious folks here in just a week or two. Miss Mary Ward sold her house, got it all finally situated. Her sister lives in Beaufort, North Carolina, and she'll be moving up there for at least a year and living with her sister. She told me here just a few moments ago that her and her sister have not had a lot of time together, and so they're going to kind of live in the same area and be able to be together. And so I appreciate that. But Miss Mary's been a real blessing since she's been here. Her husband pastored, was it two churches or three? Two. Down in Florida, independent churches, and of course he's gone on to heaven, and so she's been kind of traveling around some, but she landed here for a while. It's been a joy to have Miss Mary Ward. My wife really took a shine to Miss Mary, and so my wife Judy's going to be sorry when she's gone. It'll be a couple more weeks, I guess. Is that right, Miss Mary? Sometime around the 9th or 10th of November. A couple weeks, but at some point, we're going to ask that maybe some of us men can get together and help her load her things in the truck. She'll let us know more about that, and I told her we'd be more than happy to get some folks to tell us together to kind of help her get loaded up and get her down the road. But she always, now she knows where we are. So anytime she's back in Columbia, she's got a daughter. Is it one daughter, Liz, or two? One in Georgia, that's right. And they've both been here many times. And so I'm sure she'll be coming back on occasion to visit. So I hope she knows where Anchor's at. So she'll be right here with us occasionally. We'll be praying for her. We just hate to lose her, but she's been a blessing while she's been here. All right, with a Joaquin Crazy offering, if you would, please. Amen.
Thank you. broken and bruised from the choices you've made. Sin has a price tag, so often you paid. But Jesus is waiting, new hope is in Him. Grace will always be greater than sin. Grace will always be greater than sin. Calvary has driven it time and again. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, God's grace will always be greater than sin. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than
of Ruth, but if you'll follow the lineage of Christ,
You'll find Ruth in that lineage. Her name means something worth seeing. I like that. Ruth, the Jebusite. Now, we all know that especially in the Old Testament, that God made a great separation between the Israelites and the heathen, the word that is used, meaning Gentiles. If you're not a Jew here this morning, you're a Gentile. And Ruth is a picture of the Gentile world. Even though in religious circles and even in the separation truth of the Bible, God sees something worth something in the Gentiles. We know that because when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for the Jews, he died for the whole world. He didn't say, Father, forgive that much. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then, of course, we have Boaz, who is the master of the field, and he's the big shot, the big wig, if you will, in the story of Ruth, and his name means, in the Lord is strength. Now, in the book of Ruth, and in the law of the Old Testament, when a man and woman married, if the husband died and there were no children, because it was so important to continue the inheritance and the heritage of the tribes of Israel, God commanded that if that should happen, the husband dies, then the next brother or the next kinsman redeemer would step up and marry the lady, the girl, and keep the seed of the family alive, have children to keep the name alive. Well, this is a little different because Ruth is a Moabite. She's from Moab, but she married Naomi, one of Naomi's two sons. Now, at this point, the father, Naomi's husband, and both of her sons, one of them being the husband of Ruth, dies. Ruth has no children. Ruth, being a Moabitess, is not included in the law because she's not a Jew. In fact, Naomi encourages her to stay in Moab with her family and start over again, if you will. But Ruth had seen so much of God in Naomi until she said, I'm not leaving. Now, there's another Moabitess who married the other son. When he died, she stayed in Moab. But Ruth said to Naomi, whither thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And so Ruth has been converted. I believe she got saved. And she wanted to go where she knew God was going to be. Yes, and she moved with Naomi back to Bethlehem. Now, the instant thing you'll think of is there's going to be friction in the family and friction in the neighborhood and friction in the town because Naomi dared to bring a Moabitess home. But remember, she's not just any Moabitess, she's family. Ruth is a picture not only of the Gentile world, but that God loves the Gentile world enough to include us in his family. Because later on we find that in fact Boaz marries Ruth. And again, this is such a great, if you've never read through the book of Ruth, it'll take you 10 minutes. But what a great love story. And so here in this redemptive history of the world that we find in four little old chapters stuck in the middle of the Old Testament, we find, as I mentioned, Naomi and her family are a type of Israel. They were Israelites. What happened when the famine hit Bethlehem, Judah, Naomi's husband and took her, Naomi and her family to Moab. They weren't supposed to go to Moab. They didn't belong in Moab. The Israelites have been dispersed to the world because they crucified Christ. Remember what they said at Calvary or at the judgment? They said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And so Israel has suffered since then through the dispersion. Now they're beginning to reform, if you will. 1948, Israel became a recognized nation again. And since then, many Jews have begun to go home, to live at home in Israel. And all of that is setting the stage for the rapture of the church. And by the way, that's in this book too. Because Ruth is a type of a Gentile who gets converted. And because of that, Boaz sees her in the field and says, man, she's pretty.
And he's not married. He's not even dating. And he sees her, and he asks his servant, who is the damsel? And they said, Ruth the Moabite. Now, what most folks would have thought is, he just said, oh, can't touch her. She's not one. But you know what? He so fell in love, it was love at first sight, that what she was didn't matter. Who she was going to be is what he was concerned about. Aren't you glad that when God looked at you as a sinner and saw us as a sinner, he didn't see us for what we are, but he saw us for what we were going to be, and that is part of the New Testament church as Gentiles, and we are now called the Bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Ruth woke up that morning in Moab, didn't know what was going on, things have happened, but she met somebody called Jesus, hallelujah, and she got moved to a new location, had a new life, a new family, a new husband. Isn't it wonderful when you get saved that God will take you out of that old mess and give you a new life and a new home and a new family? All of that. And by the way, that's just the introduction. I mean, I'm telling you, you could write books, and I know people have. I love this book just because of what's in it. Now, I want to get right down to the nitty-gritty, if I can, the thought that I want to give you on when the master visits the field. Look at verse number 1, and let's stand together, if you're able, in honor of the Word of God. We'll read just a few verses, and then I'll pray and preach and try to get you out here at a good hour. All right, let's begin reading in verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth. This is chapter 2, verse 1. Of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find, and what a good word to put right here, grace. She said, you know, we're hungry, and he's got a big corn field, and it was the law then that poor folks could go into the field and glean. After the reapers went through, whatever happened to be left over, the poor folks could go in and get all they could gather, and that's how they fed themselves. She said, I want to go to this field because I think when I get there, I can find grace. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad when I come to church, I can find grace. When I go to the Lord, I find grace. When I read the Bible, I find grace. When I pray, I find grace. Paul found grace. Ruth found grace. And thank God, so did I. Well, let me read on, quit preaching. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her sack, was too light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. By the way, that's not luck. She wasn't lucky to go there. God intended her to go there. Yeah. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Boy, he caught a glimpse. Amen. Say amen right there, husbands. Almighty, you better shout right there. And notice he said, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. In other words, she's a worker. She wasn't relying on welfare. She's a worker. And said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my name. He said, don't go anywhere else. Hang around here. But I'm going to ride by every day, and I'd like to get a look at you. Here they are now. I know I'm paraphrasing, but you get the idea. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Boy, he said, you other fellows, you better keep your eyeballs in your eye sockets. I saw her first. Amen. Hey, Boaz had a little jealous streak in him. Amen, men? Better shout right there. I'm telling you, trying to help you fellas if you'll help me. And notice, and when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Remember when he got saved? You got on your knees and, Lord, I'm just an old dog. I don't deserve to get saved. Who am I, Lord? You're gonna show me grace? Aren't you glad God showed you grace? When you were a wicked, lost sinner going to hell, I'll let you sit down a minute. I know. In fact, sit down. I'm liable to preach all through this thing, so I might as well not make you stand. Lord bless the message, amen. I've gotten preaching mode. I've forgotten my praying mode. And Boaz answered and said unto her, isn't it good that God always answers? Remember, Boaz was a type of Jesus Christ, the kinsman redeemer. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto me, all that thou hast done to thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity. Thou come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel under those whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, that thou hast comforted me, that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. I be not like unto one of thy handmaids. She said, I'm not one of you. I sure appreciate you talking good to me. I appreciate you being kind to me. Listen, every one of us here deserves to go to hell. But isn't it good one day the Holy Ghost came by and spoke kindly to you and said, I love you, and the Son of God loves you, and the Son of God wants to save you, and you can have joy and peace and comfort and rest. I'm glad at 17 years of age, God spoke good to me, but I didn't deserve to be spoke to at all. A holy God speaking to an unholy teenager. I'm sure glad he did. Notice, Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou here. Come and dine. Master calleth. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now. Come and dine. He said, young lady, he said, I took a shine to you. In fact, I took such a shine to you, I want you to come eat at my table. But don't you ever worry. You'll never go hungry. You'll never go without. But I was under conviction. The devil said, don't do it. You'll not have any friends. You'll lose everything you have. You won't have any fun. But I'm telling you, God has said in the same sentence, but I'll take care of you. And I'll feed you. And I'll clothe you. And I'll give you the right kind of wife. And I'll give you good children. And I'll put you in a good church where you can love me and serve together. And God has kept his word. And the master is his chief. You'll notice that none of the servants could do this for us. Don't care what kind of Christian home you may have come out of. Nobody in this church can do for you what the master can do for you. So he said, come hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. He sat beside the reapers and he reached her parched because she wasn't getting good enough. I no doubt she's probably still unworthy. And I'm a Gentile. I'm one of them hated. So Moab was one of the two illegitimate sons of Lot. Remember, his two daughters had sexual relations with their daddy. That's wicked. And out of it came Ammon and Moab, the two sons. And here's, and she's out of the tribe of Moab, Moabite. Everybody, she probably thought, I'm no good. My daddy was no good. My great, 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 great granddaddy was no good. My great, 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 great grandmother tricked my great, 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 great granddaddy. I'm no good. Nobody cares about me. I have a terrible testimony. Oh, but I'm glad Boaz did not dwell on who she was or where she came from. He just dealt with the fact that he fell in love with her, and it didn't matter where she came from, and it didn't matter what her testimony was. And it didn't matter who her family was. Thank God he loved her anyway. Everybody in this room got a wicked past and a wicked family and a wicked heritage. But the Lord God of heaven loved us anyway. Glory to God. And the master, just quickly, number one, when the master visits fields, the first thing you'll notice is master's behavior. You'll notice the master doesn't act like the rest of that crowd. That's why he's the master. Yeah. Notice what it says in verse number four. The Bible said, and behold, Boaz came. He didn't send somebody out for a report. He showed up himself. For the day that the Holy Ghost of God convicted my heart on that Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock, August the 26th, 1976. I'm telling you, all of a sudden, and all of a sudden, right behind the Holy Ghost was the Lord himself. That said, young man, I want to save you today. Today's the day. Not tomorrow, not next. Today's the day. I want to save you today. I'm glad Jesus.
Jesus came.
Aren't you glad Jesus came to where you were? I love that old Squire Carson song, He Came to Me. You're a preacher, and I understand what they mean. But I'm glad I found the Lord, but you didn't do no such of a thing. You aren't looking for the Lord. The Bible said in Romans that there's none that seeketh after God. You're a sinner, that's what you like, but I'm glad He came to me. So the master's behavior, you'll notice in verse 4, we see his praise. He said, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. And who else deserves blessing and praise but Jesus? Remember, Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kinsman redeemer. Oh, hey, and notice his vision in verse number 9. I'm glad the Lord, the Bible said in Philippians, my God shall supply your need. Now, listen, I'm not preaching tonight, Brother Dave is. I'm going to blow her out this morning. I've been laying wood floor all week. I am sore from the crown of my head to top of my feet, but my tongue will feel good. Amen. So I might as well make him sore too while I'm at it.
Yeah.
Notice in verse 9. The Bible says, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. You know, God take care of you. Don't you let the devil tell you the servant all the means all your life. I'm not a health and wealth preacher. Don't misunderstand. Send me $1,000 if something happens, I'm all for it. I'm open to it. In fact, I'll take half. I'll take $500. The Bible doesn't teach that health and wealth stuff. The Bible teaches you. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things you added. You can say, you're living for God, and you're going to take care of it. David said, I was young and now I'm old. It's been a long time. He said, I've never been righteous before He did. We find in the master's behavior, his praise, his provision. And then in verse number 12, we find it. Because the Bible said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given be the Lord God of Israel, under whose name thou art come. I'm telling you, friends, you serve God and you love the Lord. The Bible said He'll do abundant for all the time. And I'm telling you, I've seen it in life. I don't have the time to say it at all. Can you say that? Hasn't God been good? Isn't He a good rewarder? Doesn't He pay more than we? Doesn't He give us more than we deserve?
No, He does. I'm glad that the Bible said that His mercies are new every morning, every day.
There's not a day that goes by for a Christian. Real born again Christian. God doesn't do something good. We find when the master visits the field, we see his behest. Number 2, and I got to hurry. Look at verse 5. We see the master's behest. The word behest means draw near, draw to. Usually done vocally. You know, if I say, Claudette, come up here. I'm giving her a behest. That's just an old English word, but it works in my alliteration. You'll just have to my explanation. But you notice what it says in verse 5. The Bible said, He didn't do this. When I got under control, I didn't bother him. I'm wearing a big loaf, although I'm sure that's what I
didn't see the Lord get up go.
Tell you what, it's a big guy for you. Now he's telling me.
Hey, I'm glad. He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank God. The Bible says, well, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
The master, in his behest, told for me his concern. He spoke up because he was thinking about Bruce. He wanted everybody to know that he was concerned. Are you ready? God loved the world. You know what God's doing when he looked up? He's letting everybody know that he's
God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish.
Heaven alone. I'm glad God sent you. He didn't want you to leave here lost. He wants you to be the same.
He wants you to be ready. He wants you to be part of the
spot. He wants you to be part of the spot. And if you read the book of Ruth, find that Boaz never did one thing to force. He did not extort her. He didn't say, now bless God, you don't marry me. I'm going to cut all your stuff off. He never said that.
Never, hey, I'm the master and you're the servant. I'm the kinsman redeemer. You got to do what I say and you're going to do it or else.
He didn't. He just said, sweetie, the fellow loves. I got more than I need. I won't have
them. Thank God. Thank God. I've got more grace than he needs. So he gave the cross.
Because of his concern in verse 8, because of his confirmation. He said in verse 8, he said, Boaz under Ruth, here is now not my daughter. Well, not the green in the other field, but abide here fast by my name. Boy, I'm glad when God saved me, he said, now you hang around my crowd. You find me a good church somewhere that preaches the Bible and believes the truth of the Word of God, sings the right kind of song, and knows how to get along and love one another. He said, I want you to be in that crowd. That's the kind of bus you can grow in. Somebody say amen right there. That's why I'm a member of a local New Testament Independent Baptist Church, because I want to be with God's people that believe this book. 6:11 King James Bible, by the way. I haven't said that in a while. You might be thinking I've changed mine. I haven't. If I ever do, I'll tell you. If I'm not, so don't worry about it. We find when the master visits the field, we see his concern, his confirmation, his concern. He went back every day. He said, "Hi, old Silver. Let's go to the field." He says, "About 9:30, I think, sweetheart's down there. Come on now." And when Judy and I were dating, she taught the Christian school. I worked in Lancaster, South Carolina. But when I got off work, buddy, my car knew how to get to Austin Road.
Yeah.
As I'd go to school, I wouldn't even wait until she got home. I'd go to school and catch her before she left.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
I'm telling you.
All you women wish your husband like me.
Oh, don't go to hell. It won't go there.
Praise God.
I sent her flowers after our first night. And the fellow that introduced my best man at our wedding was a boss. And the reason he introduced it because he was dating a girl who wouldn't let them date unless it was trouble. So he said, "Fuck up, so he could date this girl." And before he went good, in about 3 weeks, he engaged. And boy, she ran and told him, he said, "Listen, I just wanted somebody to date. I didn't want you to marry him." But you know, what can you say? Help me out, Kevin.
You're trying. That's not trying. You're laughing at me. You ain't trying.
I'm the church house, man. What about that? Let me close. I got to close. I've had a blast.
Well, I'm telling you,
it's been a while. I've had a good time.
The master visits the field. We see his behavior. We hear his
message. Lastly, God's not an old man in a rocking chair. He's sitting up there just waiting for eternity to come on. He's got a purpose.
Actually, if you read this very story, you'll find out.
And she's not in that seat. He loves her so much. He knows that when the poor folk out there gleaning, some days they'll get a lot, some days they'll get a little. Depends on who gets there first. That's why the Bible says she didn't spend much time in the house. She knew she had to get down there quick and get what she could. So you know what he did? One day he's riding down through there and he's always sweeping.
Lord, I hope you work it out. I can never.
See, there was somebody else, the kinsman redeemer, in before it was man's responsibility. But you know, you'll read later, he gave that up and said, "I can't afford her. You can have her." I'm glad the devil couldn't afford her. Let you understand what the Bible said. While she was out there gleaning one day, obviously things were a little slack. Hat wasn't full. So he rides over and he pulls his servant up and says, "Come here, man. Well, I'm going to give you a little." I don't want her to know. I know.
From the mass, if he master, who would he want to see?
He said, "Here's what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to ride around and I want you to get between her and the whoever is in front of her cleaning on that road. But I don't want you to let anybody know." He said, "Listen, here's a bag full of good sweet corn. So this will make cornbread like nobody's business." He said, "I want you to get between them. Don't let anybody know what she is. Just about time she turns the corner to come down that road, said, I want you to drop a handful on the ground."
She didn't even have to shuck it.
Then there it was. In the Bible. You know what the Bible calls that? Handful. But God's got a purpose in life. Well, Boaz, a type of Christ that I love. I don't want her to starve. I don't want her to be without. I'm going to fix it so she's always got enough. And then I'll fix it where she got it. Because when he did that, she picked it up. She said, "Woo!" And she ran home and Naomi said, "What are you so excited about?" "Just look at my bag!" And it was slam full to overflowing. Naomi said, "Where do you get that?" "The Lord bless me."
Hey! Melissa!
So she got, you see that pretty red car sitting out there? She got a brand new fire engine red car, boy. It's pretty.
Who gave that to her?
The Lord did. Now she's paying for it. But you know who's going to help her pay for it? Same God that gave it to her. Amen? You know why? Because he owns it. He's the master of the field. You reckon, Miss Melissa, he whispered to that salesman and said, "Give her that pretty car. Let's make sure she qualifies. I should drive a brand new shiny red car." Say, "Preacher, what am I going to do with anything?" I'm telling you, God's always busy looking out for us. And she saw his business change. Master's business was safety and sufficiency. Because it wasn't long. That the kinsman redeemer that was responsible said, "I don't want her. I don't want her." And so he gave the wife over to Boaz. Well, he zipped down the field before anything could happen. He said, "Hey, sweetie, want to get married?" He said, "Are you kidding me? Took you so long." And even though you read in the scripture where Ruth consistently praised God for her circumstance. In other words, she didn't get married to Boaz and then act like a stuck-up rich woman. She remembered where she came from. Remember, she's a Moab. Boy, she things are a whole lot different now than they were in Moab. I'm telling you, folks, you give your heart and life to Christ for salvation, for service to God. I'm telling you, you'll turn around in 10 years and say, "Man, this is way better than I ever thought it could be." You'll say, "I wish I'd have done it sooner." Because God has handfuls of supplies. He'll drop that money down there when you need it. Usually more than you need. That's just the way he does. Now, again, don't misunderstand. We don't serve God for that, but he blesses us because we're serving God. We don't serve God to go to heaven. We serve God because we're already going. You're saved. Now, if you're not saved, this may not mean much to you except for the fact that Christ has spotted you. He knows your family history. Well, preacher, if you only knew what kind of life I live, I'm not sure. God knows every aspect of your life. He loves you anyway. But he has to get, you know, that person in between you and him called the devil, father, Jesus said.
You got to get him out of the way.
How did Jesus do it? Get thee behind me.
That works.
Once you get rid of that bird in the middle that's holding things up, and you say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and bells will start to ring. Ding, dong, ding. Amen? Boy, as soon as everything got out of the way, old Boaz rode down there and said, let's get hit. And it helped to continue. Listen, read it. Read it in Matthew chapter 1. It helped to continue the lineage out of that Gentile woman down the line in Jesus Christ. She was part of a family. Not only the heavenly family, but the earthly family. In other words, God can do anything with anyone at any time. If you'll just say, Father, we love you today. Thank you for this time together.
Lord, it's been a long week this week, a hard week, and able to kind of finish this up last night by your grace, and I thank you for it. I appreciate folks being attentive. I hope it spoke to somebody's heart. It sure has mine. I'm saved, going to heaven. Boy, it just reminds me of how good my kinsman Redeemer has been to me. How that I want to serve him. I don't want to flaunt him, and I don't want to act like I'm better than somebody because I'm a Christian. Oh, no. I always want to remember what I was before I got saved, how I ought to be grateful for what God has done, for the handfuls of purpose God has given to me. Father, there may be somebody here without Jesus Christ. They do not know they're going to heaven when they die. They cannot say, yes, preacher, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. And yet the Bible says we can know that in 1 John 5 and 13. They don't know if they're not sure. If they would just admit, say, no, preacher, I'm lost and I'm going to hell. I don't want to. I want God to save me. They'll get up out of their seat in just a moment and come down this altar and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And they go away different than when they came. Maybe there's somebody here saying, oh, how they've wasted precious years and time by living in this world in the flesh. Now it's time to come home. Just like the prodigal, I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. May they come and get out of their seat as well and come and say, Lord, I failed you. I've not done right. But today I want to recommit my life to do right, to live for you, and to serve you with all of my heart. There may be some here who just had prayer requests upon their heart. They'll come to this altar and say, Lord, it's me, and I just want to bring this to your attention. As always, the doors of our church are open. If anyone, man, woman, boy, or girl, family, wants to be part of this fellowship, and I believe every Christian ought to belong to a local New Testament church. But Lord, if they want to, and they meet the Bible criteria, that is saved and or baptized. And when I say or, I mean there haven't been, they need to be. They got to be saved. And they want to come and unite with our church, why we'd be tickled to have them. Try to help them and disciple them and teach them and train them so they can go out and live for Jesus every day. Lord, whatever the need is and whatever you're leading folks to do, may they do it in the next few moments. We love you. Thank you for all you do in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand, please.